it occurred to me this afternoon after Scott's email went out that there's a bit of false advertising here. Let me explain. About 4.5 years ago, on Erev Pesach, my brother was in town, and my Talmidim in Yeshiva had heard so much about my brother, and I always quote him and his Svarim and all the Torah that he teaches. So they said, can we have a shiur from your brother? So I said, sure, we could have a shiur from my brother, as long as he agreed, and he readily agreed. And he gave a shiur, and then when I went to post the shiur on YU Torah, they didn't have my brother as one of the, on the scroll-down menu, as one of the speakers. So my brother's Erev Pesach shiur is under my name. And therefore you were all lied to get here tonight. This is not any round number. It is it's tomorrow's daf that I expect to see everyone at. That's going to be the very round number, Be'ezos Hashem. The topic we generally do on Tuesday night is we try to pick topics relating to recent Daf Yomi. It happens to be the beginning of Masechet Sota is loaded with very interesting Hashkafic topics because it's all Agadita, the beginning of Masechet Sota. We've since moved on from the Agadita. Now that we've begun the second parak, we'll get back to more Agadita later on in the Masechta. But there was one particular sugya that I wanted to talk about. I don't think we ever spoke about it at great length. And that is the sugya that appears in Sota Daf Yud, of Halbanas Pnei Chaver Barabim, the Isser of embarrassing someone else publicly. And this is a very severe Isser as emerges directly from the Gemara that we saw. If you look in source number one, the Gemara in Sota Dav Yulam Beis tells us, Amr of Zutra Bartuvia Marav, Amrila Amr of Chana Bar Bizna, Amr of Shim Chasida, Amrila Amr of Yochan Mishum Rab Shum Ben Yechai. Definitely some rabbi said, but it's a machlokas exactly which one, that Noach Lola Adam Sheyapil Atzmal Toch Kivshan Eish Val Yalbin Pnei Chaver Barabim. That it's better for a person to be thrown into a Kivshan Eish, not be thrown, throw himself, allow himself to be thrown into a Kivshan Eish, rather than to embarrass someone else publicly. Minalan, how do we know this? Mi Tamar. From Tamar, Tamar is faced with a situation where she is about to be burnt at the stake, she's about to be thrown into a Kivshan Eish, and she has the option of either saying, you know I am pregnant? It's Yehuda, he's the father of this fetus, or the option of saying, the guy who owns these things is the one who impregnated me, and she chose the latter option. Now, Yehuda could have said, well, I've never seen those things before. I don't know who that guy is. I'm not a private investigator. How am I supposed to figure that out? Just kill her. And then that would have been it. And she would have been thrown into Kivshan Eish. And why did she choose that option instead of just saying it was him, pointing the finger, that it was Yehuda, and it was clearly him who did it? Because that would embarrass him. And she would rather not embarrass him publicly. It was better for her to be thrown into a Kivshan Eish. That is strong statement number one about embarrassing someone publicly. The primary sugya where this comes up is actually sugya in Bamitzia Dafnan Tes, where the Gemara has more to say about it. The Gemara mentions this idea about Tamar, but the Gemara also tells us, before the idea about Tamar, the Gemara tells us something else. The Gemara tells us about David HaMelech. And David HaMelech was not perfect. We're not allowed to say, the Gemara in Shabbos says, that David chata, that David sinned, but certainly it doesn't seem that it was a mitzvah, that some of the things that he had done, and because of that, he was mocked, and he was scorned, and he was ridiculed by a lot of other people. And the Gemara tells us that David HaMelech struggled with this for the rest of his life. So the Gemara says, if you look in source number 3, on the second line, v'lo od, El afilu b'sha sha'oskin b'negayim va'alos omrim li. David, haba aleishas ish misasa bama. He says, even when they're involved with the Talmidei Chacham are learning other things, learning the negayim, they're learning alos, it's got nothing to do with me, it's got nothing to do with eishas ish, it's got nothing to do with my aveira, but they see me walking to the base marriage, they're like, oh, David, tell me, what's the halach about someone who sleeps with an eishas ish? V'ani omer lehem misasa b'chenek. And I have to respond to them that a person is chayiv chenek. But then David HaMelech gets the last word and he says, yeah, he's chayiv chenek, but v'yesh lo chelek olam haba. But he still gets to go to olam haba. Aval amal b'nas pnei chaver b'rabim, ein lo chelek olam haba. But by the way, if you embarrass someone publicly, like by bringing up his old sins, you don't have a chelek in olam haba. So that's how David would respond to his detractors. So that's a very strong statement, if it's to be taken literally, that David wasn't just trying to get back at them, but David was actually saying something that was accurate to them. That if you embarrass someone publicly, you humiliate someone publicly, ein lo chelek li'olam haba. That was David's response. So that is strong statement number 2 not to embarrass someone, about how terrible it is to embarrass someone publicly. Third strong statement, which is not in the Mar Makomos, not all of the Makoros referenced in the outline are in this packet, but strong statement number three is a Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Vayigash. The Medrash talks about Yosef, and it talks about the moment where Yosef was going to reveal his identity, his true identity, to his brothers. So what does he do? He throws everyone else out of the room. Now, he's got all the brothers there, and he's talking to them, and their combined power, with no one else in the room, is much greater than his. What was to stop them, from the moment he said, everyone else out of the room, and the room clears, what was to stop them from just not letting him talk and killing him on the spot? So the Medrash says, Yosef realized he understood the risk, and he was willing to take that risk in order not to embarrass them publicly, because as soon as he says, you know, I'm the brother that you sold to Egypt and that you caused all the Sagmas Nefesh to, that would be very embarrassing for them to hear in front of everybody else. So rather than embarrass them publicly, he took his own life into his own hands. Now, one can question whether that's the simple pshat of the story, meaning maybe he was just pretty sure that even if they would kill him, that being surrounded by a country full of Egyptians, they weren't going to escape very far. But, you know, these are very powerful people. These are the kinds of people that can wipe out an entire city with just one or two of them. So maybe that's what the Medrash is referring to. But the idea that that Yosef was willing to risk his own life is certainly highlighted by the Medrash. So all of this is within the bounds and within the normal realm of how Chazal talk about something that they really don't like and something that we should really avoid. Chazal all the time will tell us something is like murder, it's like Avodah Zarah. If you get angry, it's like you violate Avodah Zarah. If you're a Baal Gaiva, it's like you violated Avodah Zarah. If you do this, it's like you murder someone. If you do, Chazal very often will use it. And they're not just saying things. I mean, they do mean it on some level, but not on the literal level, meaning it doesn't mean that if a person is about to get angry and someone holds a gun to his head and says, either get angry or I'll kill you, that the person has to, I think we spoke about this recently, that the person has to sit there and say, I will not get angry, I'm going to remain calm and you can kill me. He's allowed to get angry in order to save his life. We don't say that it actually becomes Yehareg Valyavar. So you would think that the same would be true here, that this is not to be taken literally. This is the way Chazal speaks sometimes about something that's an objectively terrible, terrible midah. So that's the way they speak. However, if you look in the Rif in Maseches Bava Metzia, source number 4, what the Rif essentially does, the way the Sefer works, is the Rif doesn't really say anything of his own. He takes the Gemara and he narrows it down to the halacha. He takes out all the agarita and all the machlokas and all that, and he just tells you, he quotes the lines of the Gemara that are important to halacha. That's why it's so much shorter than the actual Gemara. He's adding very little on his own. So what does the Rif do? In source number 4, Lam Gimel Amral B'dapei Rif, Maseches Bava Metzia, Amrav Chisa Bartuvi Amarav, Noach Lala'adam Sheap La'atzmul Kif Shanesh La'adam Nechaver Barabim Minala Mitamar, Dechsiv Himutzeis. He quotes this Gemara seemingly lahalacha. That lahalacha, it's better if a person is actually faced with the two options. A person is practically, actually faced with these two options. Either allow yourself to be killed or allow yourself to embarrass someone. Says the Rif, allow yourself to be killed rather than to embarrass someone. And it's not just the Rif, and the truth is, maybe the Rif isn't the best raya, because sometimes the Rif will quote something that's not necessarily halacha lemaisa, but is important to make a certain point, and one could imagine that this is an important point to make, but we do have other Rishonim that say pretty explicitly that this is to be taken literally. Tosfos Masechta Sota, Daf Yud Amud Beis, source number 2, Noach L'Adam Sheap La'atzmul Tokiv Shana Esh. Tosfos points out, the Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us that everyone who goes to Gehenim is one day going to come out of Gehenim, except for three people, and one of those people is a Malbim Pnei Chaver Barabim, someone who humiliates someone else publicly, and he quotes the idea from David HaMelech that we saw. So Tosfos says, but wait a second, there's a very famous Gemara in Pesachim Dav Chafei and also in Yet Perkim Pesach Sanhedrin that discusses which Averos are actually Yehareg Valyavar, which Averos a person has to give up his life for rather than to violate the Averos. And very famously, the Gemara says the big three. The Gemara says Avodah Zarah, Kedar Rayos, Shvichas Damim. And there is a whole sugya to figure out in the second Perkim Pesachim, how do we know that that's true of those Averos? that one has to actually give up his life for those averus. And the Gemara has limudim for each of them, but it's specifically those three, and there's nothing else on the list in the Gemara. It's only those three averus. So says Tosfos, but wait a second, according to this Gemara in Sota, habanas pnei chaver b'ra'am should be on the list. So you'd expect Tosfos to answer, no, the Gemara doesn't mean it. The Gemara is just saying that it's a very terrible avera. It doesn't mean it literally. That's not how Tosfos answers. It says Tosfos, v'nira, haydelo chashiv le v'hadi gimel averos she'enodim b'fnei pikuach nefesh avod zchav m'gidirayis shvichas damim. The reason it's not on the list with the others, with avod zar gidirayis shvichas damim, mishum da averos halbanas panim eina mefureshas b'tora. You see, the list is not a list of every Avera that's Yaharik Val Yavar. It's a list of every Avera that's explicitly written in the Torah that's Yaharik Val Yavar. It happens to be, Halbanas Pnei Chaver Brabim is Yaharik Val Yavar, but it's not written explicitly in the Torah, and therefore it doesn't make the list. That's Tosfos' answer. So Tosfos clearly seems to be assuming that yes, it's Yaharik Val Yavar. Given the choice, one has to let himself die rather than to embarrass someone publicly. It's interesting that Tosfos says that it's not an Isser Mefurish in the Torah. But there is nowhere in the Torah that it says explicitly that you're not allowed to embarrass someone, meaning he makes it sound like it's derived from Torah Sheval Peh, or maybe it's a Mesorah of some sort, that's a Ratzon HaTorah kind of thing, that you just get the idea that this isn't like the kind of thing that God would like, but that there's no pasuk in the Torah that you could point to and say, yeah, that's where it says it. You know, if someone were to take the Chumash and say, show me, where in the five books of Moses does it say I'm not allowed to embarrass someone? Tosfos makes it sound like there's no pasuk you could point to. If you look in the Tshuvas Binyan Tzion, in Kufayin Beis, which is source number 10 over here, in the Tshuvas Binyan Tzion, in the paragraph that begins with Shuv Ra'isi, he writes, he quotes Tosfos, and then he writes, about three lines into that paragraph, right after quoting Tosfos, V'nei masha kasva Tosfos d'albanas panem enam ufreshas b'torah. That which Tosfos says, that embarrassing someone publicly is not explicit in the Torah, k'tzas kasha, he says, I have difficulty with that. Sharei hu b'chlal alav d'lo sisa alav chet. He says, that's what the love of lo sisa alav chet means. And that's what the Rambam writes. When the Monea Mitzvos discuss the Sisal of Chet, they say that included in that is to treat someone in such a terrible way that you embarrass them. So what does Tosfos mean that it's not Mefurish in the Torah? So Binyan Tzion says probably what we would have said, that yeah, but the words Sisal of Chet don't mean do not embarrass someone publicly. They mean, don't be awful, don't treat someone like he's a lowlife. But it doesn't mean, don't embarrass someone publicly. So it's not mefurash b'Torah. Tosfos never said it's not in the Torah. He said it's not mefurash in the Torah. Lo tirtzach, that's mefurash in the Torah. Avodah Zarah, in about 1,000 psukim, is mefurash in the Torah. Gilei Arayos, mefurash in the Torah. So this Isser is in the Torah, it's an Isser d'Araisa, but it's not Mefurash B'Torah. To make the list, it has to be something that's Mefurash B'Torah, which touches on a theme that we've discussed many times, that Dinim D'Araisa are not all the same. Sometimes people think there are two categories, there's D'Araisa and there's D'Rabbanan. Not so. Within D'Araisa, there are multiple levels. And a Din D'Araisa that's Mefurash B'Torah is different than a Din D'Araisa, even if it's based on a Pasuk, but not Mefurash B'Torah. It's a different level. It's a different kind of Din D'Araisa. But what we're trying to draw out of this Tosfos is that, like the Rif, Tosfos seems to take it literally. That it's Yaharik Val Yavar to embarrass someone publicly. And the other famous Rishon that holds this way is Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva. Shari Tshuva is a Musar Sefer, but it's Halachos of Tshuva as well, and Halachos of many other things. And the Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva, in Shar Gimel Oskuf Lamites, source number 5, talks about Halbanas Panim, and he describes why it's called Halbanas Panim. This caused a lot of anxiety to the Mefarshim to try to figure out why it's Halbanas Panim. Because when you, Lava means white. When you embarrass someone, they don't turn white, they turn red. So some actually change the girsa everywhere. The term Halbanas Panim is everywhere, and they still change the girsa. No, it's Ha'adamas Panim, it's the reddening of the face. Others say, no, that after your face turns red, when it goes back to normal, the blood drains out of the face and it goes back to being white. So we're trying to show that it's like shvichas dam, that it's like murder. So the way to show that it's like murder is to show where blood is draining out. So that's why we came up with a name that demonstrates the blood draining, even though that's not the time that you really did the aver. You really did the aver when the blood was coming into the face. But whatever the reason is, we call it albanas panim, but it relates to, the Rabbeinu Yonah says, it relates to blood draining, and therefore he says it's what we call an avak ritzicha. It's what we call an abizrayu of ritzicha, an offshoot of the Isser of murder. And he says, the halach is, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us in Daf Ayin Dalid, that not only are the big three averos, Yaharik Valiavar, but any abizrayu, any offshoot of the big three averos, are also Yaharik Valiavar. The Gemara very famously tells a story over there of a guy who was lovesick with a certain woman that he went to the doctor. He said, "Doctor, I'm dying, I don't know what's going on." The doctor said, "Yes, you are indeed dying, and the reason you're dying is because you need to be with that woman, and if you're not, because you're so lovesick with her, that's his diagnosis, if you're not with her, you will die." And he went to ask his local Orthodox rabbi. The local Orthodox rabbi said, "That's Gilei Arayos. Sorry, you can't do that." So he went back to the doctor. He said, "Oh, can we come up? Is there any other treatment?" He said, "Well, maybe if you just see her unclothed, that might do it also." So he went to ask his local Orthodox rabbi, and again, "Sorry, can't do that either, because that's not Gilei Arayos anymore. That's an abizrayu of Gilei Arayos." He went back to the doctor. The doctor said, "Maybe if you just talk to her in a certain way, maybe that will do it." Once again, no dice. The rabbis wouldn't agree. "Well, why not? It's just talking. Because if it's an abizrayu of Gilei Arayos, Mestama wasn't talking about the weather that he was interested in doing. So it was abizrayu of Gilei Arayos. So that would be Yaharik Valiavar as well." That's the Gemara that tells us that any offshoot of the big three. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, why is it that Habanas Pnechaver Brahm is not on the list? Because it is on the list. It's already on the list within Ritzicha. Those are that's the famous shitos of Tosfos and Rabbeinu Yonah that people often quote, that this is to be taken literally. Is this the opinion of Rav Rishonim? It's always a tricky question. When you have only two Rishonim that talk about something, and both of them that talk about it come out on one side, but no one else really says anything. So does that mean that we make the natural assumption that everyone agrees with the two who spoke about it? Or that everyone assumed when they read the Gemara, come on, it's not Gadot Gemara, it's not meant to be halacha. And a big chiddush, Taisus and Rabbeinu Yonah think that it's to be taken la halacha. Not so clear how you're supposed to take something like that. In fact, if you read through Tshuvas and the Achronim about their attitudes toward this issue, some of them assume, yeah, Ruban Kikulan Shel Rishonim. All the Rishonim seem to assume that it's Asir, that it's actually halacha. Some of them will say, because the only ones that talk about it say that. And others say, no, Rav Rishonim say that it's not halacha, because only Rabbeinu Yonah and Tosfos actually say that it is. The Rif also, I guess. The one who says explicitly that it's not to be taken halacha, that it's not to be taken literally, is the Me'iri in Maseches Sota. The Me'iri writes, La'olam yizara adam shalo la'halbim p'nei chaver b'rabim derech ha'ara amru noach lo la'adam shi'ab la'asmon t'kif sh'neish la'halbim p'nei chaver b'rabim. So the Me'iri added that two critical words over there. Derech ha'ara, and elsewhere the Meiri says derech tzchos, derech tzachos, that the Chazal were speaking in a manner of speaking. It was a manner of speech. It wasn't meant to be taken literally. But the Meiri explicitly says that it's not meant to be taken literally. Also, if this were halacha, it would be very curious why the Rambam doesn't mention it. The Rif does. Nowhere in the Rambam does it say that you have to die rather than embarrass someone publicly. So the impression you get from the Rambam is that it's not halacha l'maisa. And Tosfos Maseches Erechin, Arachin, Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph, also seems to assume that it's not really quite the same as murder. Because Tosfos is bothered that why it is that there seems to be a stira as to whether one can have kapara for ritzicha, as to whether one can have kapara for shvichas damin, for murder. So Tosfos suggests, because the Gemara talks about the Big Day Kuhuna being Mechaper. Arachan Daf Tezayin is really the Sugya and Shas about Lashon Hara. There's a couple of blot in Mesech Zerich, and that's where all the Lashon Hara Sugyas are. There's one daf in Pesachim as well. There's not much in Shas about Lashon Hara. That's what they say is the godless, really reflects the godless of the Chavetz Chaim, is that he created an entire topic, Yesh Me'ayim. There's no Mesech Lashon Hara. There's no, where do you look to find out about Lashon Hara? Two daf in there, one daf there, and like obscure Rishonim all over the place, and that's what he did, and he made two full books out of it, which is pretty impressive, and they're like real, you know, they're all well documented. Chavetz Chaim is not fluff. People think you're going to read the Chafetz Chaim and it's going to be Musari, whatever. Everything is documented, Rishon here, Rishon there, everything. So that was the Galdus of the Chafetz Chaim. But in that context of that sugya, Tosfos says that Shvichas Damim, in the conventional sense, doesn't have kapara, but he writes, but Shvichas Damim, that's Shalo Harag Mamish, Tosfos says toward the end of that Tosfos in source number 7, three lines before the end, Shalo Harag Mamish, Ela Shehil Ben Pnei Chaver Barabim, Dekaimlan Kalamad Ben Pnei Chaver Barabim, Ki Ilu Shofech Damim, Valze Big De Kuhuna Mechaprim. He says, yeah, the Big De Kuhuna could be Mechaper, but not for real Shvichas Damim, but for Abbanus Pnei Chaver Barabim, indicating that it's not really the same, that they are different from each other, and certainly Albanus Pnei Chaver Barabim is not as serious as regular Shvichas Damim. It would be, obviously, if you're going to say that it's literally like murder, then it would be one of the Shevet Mitzvot Bnei Noach also. It would be included, a Ben Noach would not be allowed to embarrass someone either. It could be that even if it's not like murder, a Ben Noach is not allowed to do it. I asked my Talmidim, who remembers what the Shevet Mitzvot Bnei Noach are? So, and said, oh, it's the big three plus Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. I never knew this mnemonic. They taught me a mnemonic. It's the big three plus Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. You know this mnemonic? So I said, yeah, no, what's the Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet? So the kid said, Avram and Achai. Okay, good. Beis is? Yeah, so he said Beis Din. And then he got to Dalet, which is Dinim, which means the same thing as Beis Din. So then he realized something was off. Yeah. So no, Beis is Birchas Hashem, right? So, okay, so whatever it is, but the big three are all included. It could be, we discussed a couple of weeks ago, that midos in general are included in Shavuot Mitzvah, meaning that goyim are obligated in midos because it's just part of being a civilized human being, and everyone's obligated to be a civilized human being. So Albanus Pnei Chaver Barabim is a basic midos issue. So it could be that they're chayiv anyway. So the question is whether it's technically within the within the realm of murder. Also, if it's in the realm of murder, if it's literally kishofech damim, it's treated halachically like shofech damim. So generally speaking, murder is not something that a person could be mochel. It's an avera bin adam l'makom. Whereas normal interpersonal violations are all bin adam l'chavero. There are about five nafkaminas between mitzvos bin adam l'makom and mitzvos bin adam l'chavero. One nafkamina is probably whether you say a bracha. You don't say a bracha on any mitzvos bin adam l'chavero. You say a bracha on mitzvos bin adam l'makom. But one of the nafkaminas between mitzvos bin adam l'chavero and mitzvos bin adam l'makom is whether it could be nimcha, whether the person can be mochel. You can't be mochel on Shabbos. Ah, mochel, you don't have to keep Shabbos this week. You're not keeping Shabbos for me, you're keeping Shabbos for the Ribbono Shel Olam. You can't be mochel bin adam l'makom. So if you hold that Avodas Pnei Chaver Barabim is part of Shvichas Damim, that's a bin adam l'makom, that's not nitan l'mechila. The guy can't even say, it's okay, I'm mochel you. But if you hold it, no, it's not literal. It's just saying that you have, it's such a pagam in your character, it's like you're the kind of person that would commit a Shvichas Damim type of issue when you would embarrass someone publicly. But clearly it's a ben adam l'chaveru issue. Well, then it would be nitan l'mechila. I saw in Rabbi Daniel Feldman's sefer, he has a number of svarim on ben adam l'chaveru. And this first sefer, The Right and the Good, it's in English. He has a whole chapter. The first chapter, I think, is on this topic. And many of these sources were taken from there, and mostly really from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's tshuva, where he got many of the sources also. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach has a long tshuva in Mincha Shlomo on this topic. And many of these sources come from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's tshuva. But he suggested, in the name of one of the achronim, I don't know who, that this may relate to another machlokas, Tosfos and the Rambam. There's machlokas, Tosfos and the Rambam, when you have something that's Yahorig Val Yavar, that's Ya'avor Val Yahorig. That's not one of the big three. Something that you're supposed to, if someone holds a gun to you and says, wear shatnis or I'm going to kill you. So the halacha is, you wear shatnis, you don't have to get killed. What if you really love the mitzvah of shatnis? Some people really dedicated to a given mitzvah. My wife has a friend, a good friend, that she went to seminary with in Israel, who went to NYU Law School, and when she finished law school, and she was getting all her friends, and she did well in law school and everything, everyone was getting jobs and everything, her only dream was to be a shatnez tester. She She just wanted to be a shot. Like, that was her dream. That's why she went 3 years of law school, so she could be a shotness tester. That was what she wanted. So she got training to be a shotness tester. She would do it for free as a chesed. Then all the other shotness testers called her up and said, you can't do that. Everyone's going to come to you. They're not going to come to us. You can't do it for free. So she stopped doing it for free. Okay, someone gets it. They fall in love with the mitzvah. This is their mitzvah that they love. So they don't want to. They'd rather die than wear a shotness. They'd rather die than violate the Savera. Are they allowed to volunteer their death? Are they allowed to say, I'll take the bullet? It's machlokas, Tosfos and the Rambam. Tosfos says, yeah, Kiddush Hashem, it's a fine, wonderful Kiddush Hashem. If you say that I am so committed to these principles of the Torah that I'm willing to die rather than to violate even something much smaller. Whereas the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Perakei, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam writes in Source number 9, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem Agodol Azeh Shenamar V'Nikdashi B'Sof B'nei Yisrael. Of course, every Jew is obligated in Kiddush Hashem. U'Mizharin Shalom L'Chalolo V'Nalai B'Michal Hashem Keitzan K'Sheyamu Rav Yichom V'Yanos Yisrael L'Avar Lachs Mikol Mitzvah Samurus B'Torah Or Yargenu. When a guy threatens, someone comes and threatens to either kill you or violate one of the Averos that you're allowed to violate, Ya'avar v'al yehareg. Violate the Avera, don't get yourself killed. Why? Shenemar b'mitzvah sasheyaso osam ha'adam v'chayibahem. It's a mitzvah in the Torah that you're supposed to keep yourself alive. So unless you're obligated to die, you have to keep yourself alive. So the Rambam says, you're not allowed. And v'im meis below avar, says the Rambam, harezim ischayiv b'nafsho. The person has his own blood on his hands for allowing himself to die rather than violating the Avera. The Rambam very strongly rejects the possibility that a person can volunteer to take his own life. Tosfos thinks that he can't not take his own life, but to allow himself to be killed rather than violate one of the lesser Averas. Tosfos thinks that he can. So Rabbi Feldman in his Sefer writes that maybe the two issues relate to each other. If you hold that any other Avera in the Torah, you're allowed to volunteer to give up your life, so what's the big deal about Halbanas Panim? Why is Halbanas Panim singled out? Something that you throw yourself into a Kivshan Eish, it must be that Halbanas Panim is a Chiyuv to get killed rather than to violate, as opposed to just a nice thing to do. Because everything is a nice thing to do. If Yod Lektos says, every Aver in the Torah is a nice thing to get yourself killed rather than violate it. So, according to the Balei HaTosfos. So Halbanas Panim must be that it's a Chiyuv. That's Tosfos Lishitaso. Tosfos counts it as, Tosfos in Sota Dav Yud says that one is obligated to give up their life rather than embarrass someone publicly. The Rambam who says that you're never allowed to volunteer to give up your life rather than violate an Avera, maybe could understand that when the Gemara says better to be Malbnech Avera better to be than Malbnech Avera Baradim, maybe he understands that to mean as a heter, that normally you're not allowed to give up your life. But maybe there's a heter for Albanas Panim. Not that it's the same as Ritzicha, not that it's the same as Gilya Rayas and Shvichas Dam and Avodah Zarah. No, it's not the same. It's not the same. But it's one notch below. So normally there are three Averos that you're obligated to give up your life rather than to violate. There's every other Avera in the Torah to the other extreme where you're not permitted to give up your life rather than to violate. Maybe what the Gemara is saying is Halbanas Panim is in a middle category, that one is permitted but not obligated to give up their life. That's what he wanted to suggest. That would be the Rambam Lishitasa. That's why the Rambam doesn't quote this as a halacha, that one is obligated to give up their life rather than embarrass someone publicly. As a practical matter, it would be impossible forget about enforce. It would be impossible to even make the judgment call of when you'd have to give up your life rather than embarrass someone publicly. Because how much embarrassment is embarrassment? How white does his face have to turn? You know, people are embarrassed over minor things. You might have a meeting with someone and notice afterwards that you had something stuck in your teeth. So would that kind of embarrassment, that level of embarrassment, rise to the level of you'd rather see people dropping dead around you than having you suffer that kind of embarrassment? I mean, where do we draw the line? Would be very, very difficult to tell. Beis Yosef writes in Kufnan Zion in Yoredei, where he talks about Yaharig Val Yavar, that any time you have a suffix about Yaharig Val Yavar, by definition, you're never going to be able to, whenever there's a machlokas about Yaharig Val Yavar, we can't say Yaharig Val Yavar. Because you can't say, no, it's an imperative to do it, if there's someone that says that you don't have to do it. So it's practically it would be impossible to implement. Also, Rav Shlomo Zalman and others and the Binyan Tzion and some Kufayin Beis. Binyan Tzion is very interesting. Binyan Tzion, I think Kufayin Aleph through Kufayin Dalet, he has like four tshuvas in a row maybe Kufayin from Kufayin Gimel, I forgot to look. There's like four tshuvas in a row, all about Yaharig Valyavar, in cases where you don't think that they're actually Yaharig Valyavar. He talks about whether stealing is Yaharig Valyavar, the famous case of the person whose wife is ill and she needs a certain medication and there's only one person that's making that medication, and the person says, I'm charging you $1 million, and the person, and this fellow goes and raises as much money as he can, and he comes up with $700,000, and he brings it to the pharmacist, and he says, please, you're the only one that makes this medication, I raised $700,000, it cost you a dime to produce it, please, please, and the guy says, sorry, the price is $1 million, no good, I'm not taking it. Is it then ethical for the person to break into the pharmacy and steal the medication at that point? So that's a famous question in ethics in general. They call it Heinz's dilemma, and it's a question in halacha. So the Ben Yitzchak has a whole tshuva about that. It seems to be Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos Maseches Bava Kamma, whether a person should rather let someone die than violate the isser of stealing. Seems to be a discussion in Bava Kamma in how to understand the Gemara in Bava Kamma about David HaMelech. So Ben Yitzchak has all these tshuvas, one after the other, about Yaharig Valyavar. So he has one about Halbanas Panim. Whether embarrassing someone else publicly is Mam Pnei Chaver. At the beginning of that tshuva, he says, it's hard to read into a Gemara that says that if you embarrass someone publicly, it's Ki'ilu Shofech Damim. Because he says, let me tell you another Gemara. There's a Gemara in Makos that tells us that anyone who's Mevazes HaMoados, it's Ki'ilu Ovid Avodah Zarah. Which means, if you treat Chol HaMoed like a weekday, it's Ki'ilu Ovid Avodah Zarah. Well, think about what that would mean. That would mean that we're all living amongst a bunch of idolaters. That would be pretty terrible. If it's mamish ki'ilu oved avodah zarah, it means that we're obligated to kill them. It means hard to imagine that that's to be taken literally, and that being mevazeh samoados would fit in the category of yaharig valyavar. So he says, Chazal speak like that. So he's not so, it's hard to assume that it should be taken literally. Nevertheless, the Ben Yitzchak says, I think it should be taken literally. Because why? I have a Tosfos, I have a Rabbeinu Yonah, I have a Rif. So he quotes all the sources that say that we should take it literally. So the Ben Yitzchak in the end thinks that this actually is halacha lemaisa, that one should take this literally. There is a chiddush that Rav Shlomo Kluger has that is really a major point of contention. It's almost like too wild of a chiddush to say, but that's what makes it interesting. I have it in my copy of the Mar Makomos, which was updated after I made the original copy, so it's not in your copy of the Mar Makomos, but I'll tell you what he says. Shlomo Kluger, if you look in the very end of Choshen Mishpat, Choshen Mishpat is 427 chapters. In Simen Tav Chav Vav, the second to last Simen in Choshen Mishpat, Rav Shlomo Kluger in Chachma Shlomo, on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, or the side of the Shulchan Aruch, has the following comment. The Gemara talks about, the Shulchan Aruch talks about, Roes Chaveru Tovea Biyam, that if you see someone drowning, so you have an obligation to go and save the person that you see drowning, this is in the Torah of Samar al-Dameach, you're not allowed to stand idly by as someone else is dying. Very moral, basic, Isser in the Torah. Says Rav Shlomo Kluger, Nir Lefiyah Niyaz Daiti Din Chadash. He says, I came up with a new din that maybe people didn't realize. That when do you have to save someone's life? That's only im eino derech bizayon lahatzil. That's only if it's not going to be a bizayon for you to save his life. Then you have to save him. But if it's derech bizayon lahatzil, and you can't hire other people to save him, you're not mechuyev to save his life. If it's going to be a bizayon o tirchi yaseira. What does it mean, a bizayon or a tirchi yaseira? To huzakein. Maybe you're getting on in years and you can do it. You can swim out and get him and swim back. You can be exhausted like the rest of the day. You can be very, very tired. So, Zakeh no chedome. Batam, and he says, why? Where do I get this from? He says, how do we know the Hatzalas Gufo? The Gemara says in Mesach Sanhedrin that you save a person's life not just from Losam Radam Reach, but from the Hashivosilo, that you have a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, that you have to return his life to him when it's about to be lost. So, Hashavas Aveda, what are the halachas of Hashavas Aveda? Pasuk says, V'salamta, so we darshan pam shata misalim. Sometimes you're supposed to hide your face from the Aveda, and you're not supposed to go and find the Aveda and return it. Kigon, zaken venul fikvodo. if carrying that aveda is beneath your dignity. If you see a pair of underwear out in the street and it's beneath your dignity, like it is for most people, to walk around the street carrying a pair of underwear, so you don't have to do a Shavas aveda then, because it's Ein Lufi Kvodo. So if that's the case, if it's Ein Lufi Kvodo to do a Shavas Gufo, to save this person's life, it should be Pater. What about Losaber Al Damreacha? He says, "Ve'ein lomar nihid me'ashavas aveda pater mikol malkum gufo shiny mikol chapasul l'samer al damreacha mukhiv latzilo." He says, "Don't tell me that it's l'samer al damreacha. Forget about l'shavas aveda. Dimkein minali la'shas techayv latzilo b'schar. Now, how would we know? How would the Gemara know that you have to pay to save him? Mikol to parch tibu gufo miveshavos nafka. Dilmo kach nitzrach l'samer af al einu l'fi kvodo." He says the Gemara discusses, what do I need Losamer al Damreacha for? I already have Eshvos al Gemara. Says, no, Losamer al Damreacha says that you even have to hire someone to save him. Why didn't the Gemara say better? The Gemara should have said, well, if you only have Eshvos Aveda, if it would have gotten your frack all messed up and say Inul Fikvodo, you wouldn't have to do it. But Losamer al Damreacha would tell me that you do have to. No, you see that Losamer al Damreacha over here conforms to the rules of Hashavas Aveda. And he says, a raya brural is that? The Gemara in Sanhedrin that we mentioned before. What was the Gemara in Sanhedrin we mentioned before? We mentioned a Gemara about a guy who's lovesick. He goes to the doctor. The doctor says, you need to be with this woman. Good. So the Gemara says, well, what was the case? Was the woman a married woman? Was she an Ashes Ish? If she's an Ashes Ish, I understand. That's a Tkile Rayas. Gemara says, Machlokas. One opinion says, Pnuya Haisa. She wasn't even married. It was a single girl. And still they wouldn't let this guy just, you know, have his satisfaction so that he could live. So the Gemara asks over there, the Mandiyam of Pnuya is my Kulei. Why? Why to such an extent for a single girl? Umishani Rav Papin, the Gemara answers, Mishum Pagam Mishpacha. Because it would be a Pagam to the whole Mishpacha that you treat Bas Yisrael, that belongs to a family of fine Jewish family in such an undignified way. It's a begam to the mishpacha. Let this man die. V'kasha, atu mishum begam mishpacha yamozeh. Since when is that a reason for a person to die? It's embarrassing for the family. So just knock that person off, so that the family shouldn't be embarrassed. You know, someone knows lashon hara about you. What is this, like a mafia thing? Someone knows lashon hara about you. So okay, so let's kill him, so that he won't reveal this, and it's going to not look good for the family. Isn't the family obligated to do whatever they can to save that person's life? What you see from there is, and no, you're not obligated to save someone's life if it's going to be embarrassing to you. Because we learn, just like Hashavas Aveda. That's from Shlomo Kluger's Chiddush. That if you're gonna mess up your clothing when you go and jump in the water to save the person, and you'll be walking around the rest of the day in wet clothing, and everyone's gonna say, oh, what happened to Leibowitz? Why is his clothing all wet? He doesn't know how to put himself together, and that's gonna be embarrassing for me. So then I don't have to save a person's life. So Shlomo Zalman in Mincha Shlomo discusses a lot of things. And in Siman Zayin, right, what I have over here in source number 11, this two pages of, you know, two straight pages of Rav Shlomo Zalman, this is like the last, I would say, 5% of that tshuva. This tshuva, if I would have printed out the whole tshuva, would have been voluminous. It's a very, very, very long tshuva. But in the last little bit of this tshuva, he starts discussing our issue. And at the end of the first paragraph, in brackets, he quotes this from Shlomo Kluger. He says, Ken Zarisi Lagon Moreno Rav Shlomo Kluger Zal, who what he writes at the end of Choshen Mishpat, and he quotes word for word, and then he says in the last two lines, he says what this probably relates to is the idea that a bizayon is chashav kamisa. It relates to the fact that being embarrassed is so terrible. That's why you don't have to save a life, because of pegam mishpacha, because it's going to be embarrassing to a person. Because being embarrassed, if it follows that if embarrassing someone else is like killing them, it's like ritzicha. That if embarrassing someone else is such a terrible avera that it's yarek val yavar, that when to embarrass myself, for me to be embarrassed, is like me getting killed. So do I have to get killed to save someone else's life? So he said, that's what Shlomo Kluger is really based on. It's based on this idea, I don't have to get killed to save someone else's life. So Shlomo Zalman says, it's ridiculous. this is not a correct analysis. But he says, what you do see from here is Rav Shlomo Kluger is working with this assumption of just how bad it is to embarrass someone. Why is it an incorrect analysis? It seems, seems glatt in terms of his halachic analysis, even though morality and common sense-wise, it doesn't seem so glatt. So he says, Ulam dvar tmu ma'od. V'i'ef shar klal lahashvos bizoyon shalatzmo lahalbanas panim shalacherim. Very big difference. He says, it's a huge difference. Why, what's the difference? In one case, we're talking about someone coming and embarrassing another person. The other case, we're talking about a person putting himself in an embarrassing situation. When I embarrass myself, it's not even in the same world, it's not in the same ballpark as someone coming and embarrassing me. Someone comes and embarrasses me, that's humiliating, because you don't control it. You don't know when it's going to end, and you don't know where it's going, and you're not in control of it at all. You're not bracing yourself for it. When one embarrasses himself, it's an entirely different story. He's much more in control of the situation, and he's choosing to do it. So when a person made the active choice to do that, to embarrass himself, he doesn't feel as humiliated as someone who is embarrassed by somebody else. It's just basic human psychology. So he says, that's where Shlomo Kluger went wrong. Because he's talking about jumping into the water to save the person, that's not someone else embarrassing you, that's you putting yourself in what might turn out to be an embarrassing situation. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman says, okay, but if we're going to take Halbanas Panim so seriously, and we're really going to, taking this chiluk and saying that embarrassing someone else publicly is itself really like murder, he seriously has a discussion about being Mechal Shabbos to save someone from embarrassment. You're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save a life. So Shlomo Zalman has paragraphs of discussion, which is mind-boggling. Can you be Mechal Shabbos to save someone from being embarrassed? You know that something's about to break, something's about to happen, and it's going to embarrass someone. Can you get in your car and drive and make it stop in order not to embarrass somebody? So Shlomo Zalman says, I really don't know why not. At first he says, I don't have a good mahalich as to why it is that you're not allowed to be. He says, I know that no one says you're allowed to, but he says, af she'ein lahalos klal al adas she'imutu la'arugas harodef la'ad b'nei chaver. He says, I'll agree that if you see someone about to humiliate somebody, you're not allowed to take out your gun and shoot the person who's about to humiliate someone. I agree, he says. We're not going to go that far. But to be Mechal Shabbos, I don't see why you shouldn't be allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. He says, if it's a Kal V'chomer, Me Yehuda, that Halbanas Panim was just to say that he, what was Tamar going to say about Yehuda already? And what did he do? That he was nivel with a Goya Pnuya, with a non-married, non-Jewish woman. When did that become Aser in history? That was Beis and Shel Chashmonai. How embarrassing is that going to be already? What, he did something that didn't quite live up to the Midas Chasidus that Yehuda, not so terribly embarrassing. And still, she's willing to throw herself, and we learn from there that a person should be mapul l'kif shenayish. So someone's going to really be mevaza someone with sheker and chazav and all sorts of things. But Rav Shlomo Zalman says, you have to say that there's some limitation on how literally we take this and how far we take it. Because otherwise, he says, why are you allowed to ever take someone to court? Why are you ever allowed to sue someone? Why is a judge, a Beis Din, ever allowed to make someone testify? Aren't they embarrassing someone? Nebuch, the poor defendant. It's humiliating to him. Shouldn't we all die rather than embarrass him? And yet, what, just for money? So this person will pay that person so we can give this person money? So obviously there has to be some limitation. In fact, there's an interesting discussion in Rav Nassim Gestetner's Tshuvas in Lahoras Nassim, Chelech Hesem and Beis, whether a Kohen who has humiliated someone publicly is allowed to duchen. Because Teduchen, we've discussed, I don't know if we've discussed recently, but I've certainly looked into the Indian recently, that the Avera that would pass a person from Duchening is murder. And that's pretty much it. There's not much else that passes a person from Duchening. The Rambam writes, based on Yerushalmi, that a person is Megala Arayos. If a person, the Tzibur should not say, he's a Megala Arayos, I don't want him Duchening, because that Tzibur is uneducated. He's not the one that's giving you the bracha, the Ribbono Shalom is giving you the bracha. It's only if he's a Rotzeach, or the Mishnah Berurah adds, he's hated or he hates the people in the room. If everyone hates him or he hates them, so then it's not Ba'ava, that's going to be a problem. So what about someone who's Malm Pechaver Barabim? Is that literally like Shofech Damim, the Yad of Damim Leu, that it's his hands have blood on them, and therefore he can't Duchen? So Rav Nosson Gishtadner says, no, we can't take it that literally. But he says, if he's someone who's in the practice of being Malam Pnechav Abraham, he's likely in the other category of the hated person or the one who hates others and is therefore ineligible to Duchen for that reason. Okay, there's a lot more to say in Halos Pnechav Abraham, but we should, even though we didn't get to all of it, we should still strive not to be Malam Pnechav Abraham.